Thank you, Todd, for that wonderful welcome. Good morning, Florence Boulevard. It is a honor and a privilege to get to be here with you today. I just noticed some folks from back home in Winfield, Alabama. I had to give a little wave there. It's great to be with you this morning. As a young preacher, as I moved to the Shoals area back in the early 2000s, it was always on sort of my bucket list to get an opportunity to spend time with you guys and share a message with you. So this is something I get to check off my list. The storied and honored history that you have here at the Florence Boulevard Church carries throughout our community, and you are such a blessing and a light to the Shoals area. And I just want you to know that how much we other churches in the community think of and respect the work that you guys do here. And so it's an honor and privilege to be here. I bring you greetings from Heritage Christian University, as Todd said. I'm full-time there. I work there full-time. And then part-time, I'm the associate minister at the Highland Park Church of Christ over in Muscle Shoals. And so that's where I come to see you from today. So first things first. Despite the striking resemblance, I am not the real Michael Jackson. It is a little bit of a work hazard to be a preacher and have this name. I don't get nearly as many invitations as I would like to go out in the community. But I do promise you, whenever they put on the church sign that Michael Jackson is preaching, we have community visitors, it seems like, every single time. So I didn't pause long enough to see if you put me on the sign today, but if you are visiting with us, we're really glad to have you today. It really was a lot of fun as a young youth minister having this name. As you can imagine, the stories that I have to tell and to share from that time period. It was so interesting. Someone in our local community grabbed a copy of, I don't know if you guys do it here, but the house-to-house, heart-to-heart bulletins that come out of Jacksonville, Alabama. Someone got one of those in our community, and they mailed it into the Jay Leno show for the headline segment. And I made the headline segment on the season premiere in 2005. My name did. I wasn't actually there, but my name made it on the headline segment. And I have experienced a little bit of persecution when trying as a youth minister to call and order food for the kids. I called McDonald's one time, and I said, I need 60 hamburgers for an event tonight. And they said, what's your name? I said, Michael Jackson. And I heard click. And so I learned from that point forward to use Winfield Church of Christ as the name rather than my own. There was one time I took the kids to Haleville, Alabama. I don't know if how many of you are familiar with the Ninth Avenue Church in Haleville, Alabama, but I took the kids to Ninth Avenue, and we went to a youth rally. And I don't know how familiar you are with these youth rallies, but usually when you go to a youth rally, they have the little sticker, things that you put on your chest that say, hello, my name is, and then you've got an area to write your name. Well, this is pretty common fare at most youth rallies, and my kids were always jokesters and pranksters, so they never actually put their real names on the list, on the tags. And so this particular night at the youth rally was Forrest Gump night for some reason. So we had all the characters from Forrest Gump in our youth group. We had Forrest, and we had Jenny, and we had Lieutenant Dan, and we had Bubba. And so the youth rally finished up, and after the youth rally, we took the kids to the only place in town that was open, which was Guthrie's, for some chicken fingers. And as we're going through the line, I noticed the cashier behind the counter is getting tickled as the kids are coming through, and they're placing their orders for their chicken fingers. And so then I step up to the counter, and she loses it. She falls over behind the counter laughing hilariously. And I said, ma'am, what is so funny? She said, all these kids' names are so funny, and yours is the best. And so I politely pulled out my driver's license to share with her that that is really my name. Isn't it fun to laugh? Isn't it a blessing and a joy and a privilege to spend time together enjoying life? How fast do the good things in life pass us by? And the difficult things seem to sort of stuff them out or make it difficult for us to enjoy them. The more I grow and the older I get, the more important I see it is to take time to laugh and to smile and to think about the joy and goodness and privileges of life. And there are times in our lives where we have these striking and important reminders of the goodness of life and maybe even of things that we haven't thought about but should be thinking about in our lives. I had one such experience like this recently at Highland Park. This is about 3 weeks ago. Here is my, this is my son on the left and on the right, separated by several years. On the left, this is a little pulpit that my son got for Christmas. One of our friends is a woodworker and made him a little pulpit. He was always standing behind anything he could stand behind and pretending to preach. So they made him a little 3-foot pulpit. Well, we use, it's off the screen here, but in this Sunday night service, we use this little pulpit. And I have watched my little boy on Sunday nights once a month at Highland Park get up behind this little pulpit and lead, practice his leading. They'll lead songs and they'll lead prayers and they'll do little talks and things like that. I'm sure you guys have a similar type experience here for your young ones. And if you've ever had that opportunity, and I know you have, to watch these guys grow up in front of you as they're growing and learning in the Lord, that in and of itself is just a moving experience, especially when it's your own children, seeing them to grow and develop this way. Well, about 3 weeks ago, in fact, it was exactly 3 weeks ago on Sunday night, on the first Sunday night of October, it wasn't my son, Jonah, who's pictured here, or my littlest one, my 3-year-old Silas, who made a mark on me that particular night. It was another 4-year-old little boy who got up to lead just like he always does. He took his steps up to the podium, not the big podium, but the small podium, which he can stand tall behind. And he led a prayer. And this was his prayer. As he bowed his head, he said, "Thank you, God, for our blessings. And thank you, God, for the sticky bushes. And thank you, God, for Jesus." Now, there was more to the prayer probably than I heard at the time, but my mind was captivated and in awe. And I was moved by this beautiful 4-year-old's prayer. One of my dad's favorite Bible verses is Philippians 4:8, and it was the verse that was read for you. And this was, as I said, this little 4-year-old boy's prayer was a powerful reminder to me of how important it is to think about and thank God for our blessings. Now, we hear, "thank you for our blessings," often in prayers, but if you ever hear it from the lips of a little 4-year-old child, it means something special and different to you, and it causes your mind to really, really think. And that passage in Philippians chapter 4, in verse 8, is a passage that I think most of you good Bible students are familiar with. It's at the end of the book of Philippians, which is a book that is written by Paul in the midst of his trials, actually, in jail at the time. It's not the same kind of prison that we would think about, but it is a difficult situation. And so that's why the statement in Philippians 4:8 is so shocking or striking when you read the book. Because when you read where Paul was at the time, if you go back and you read Acts chapter 16, or you read the message of what happens in Paul's life after Acts 16 when he meets the Philippians, you'll know that his life was a constant, difficult battle. Or if you read about in 2 Corinthians 11, him tell his own story about the things that he faced, you'll realize that when Paul says we need to dwell on things that are good and pure and lovely, how much power and impact are behind those words. My dad had a thing called a feel-good file. I don't know if you guys have ever heard of this concept, but it was something he really encouraged and tried to pass down to me. And what he would do is, he would keep a file folder, and every time he saw a good news item or he collected a little piece of paper or a clipping about some of our school work from school or something like that, he would clip it out and he would stick it into this file folder. And it was just my dad's way of trying to set up for himself this principle of Philippians 4:8, a way to dwell on things that are lovely and good and pure and worthy of dwelling on. And so my question for you this morning is, how are you thinking about and dwelling upon, what are the ways that you are programming yourself to think about the blessings in your life? I think it's important for us to realize that blessings in life are not just a holiday once a year. We don't just thank God in November. We have to think about and count our blessings on a regular basis, regardless of the circumstances that we're facing or we're going through. And what ways are we doing that? Because I'll tell you, if you're depending upon the news to help you count your blessings, how much can you depend on that in this world? If you're depending upon, let's say, you don't pick up a newspaper anymore, but let's say you're on the internet and you prefer your cell phone and you like social media. Is social media your best source for positivity and good thinking? Well, there can be, but what I'm trying to illustrate for you now is for some reason the world likes to focus not on our blessings, but on our challenges and on our difficulties and on our shortcomings. So Paul's admonition in Philippians 4:8 is the same admonition that I bring for you today. What way are you developing in your life an opportunity to think about the good in things? I'm sure you've heard the story before, but I'd like to share it again, of the farmer out in the Midwest who was going to sell his farm. Well, he was preparing to do this because he was discouraged about how his farm was doing, and so he felt like maybe a move or a change would really help him. So he called up the realtor to set up the ad for the paper so that he could sell the farm. And so the realtor gathers the information, as realtors do, and took all the information and began to craft a sales ad for the farm. So the realtor crafts the sales ad and then gives the farmer a call and says, I want to run this ad by you before I put it in the paper, because I wouldn't want to put something in the paper that you're not proud of. And so the farmer skeptically says, okay, let's see what you got. So the realtor begins to read the ad. Beautiful farm located on lush green pastures with a nice big pond, a well-maintained house, and in a great location. The farmer said, okay, could you read that back to me again one more time? The realtor read it again and said, what do you think? The guy said, "You will not put that ad in the paper." And the realtor said, "Why?" "Because I want that place. I've been looking for that place all my life, and so I want to keep it. I don't want you to sell it." And such it is with thinking about our blessings. Sometimes it can give us a new and important perspective on life. I don't know how common it is here for one of your prayer leaders to thank God for sticky bushes, but it was new to me. I had never heard a prayer for the sticky bushes. And while we may laugh and enjoy that, and I did at the time, I have not been able to get it out of my mind for 3 weeks. Because I believe it's not only the joys of childhood that brought out this statement about the sticky bushes, but also there's something very important and moving in thanking God for the sticky bushes. You got your Bibles. Are you familiar with the parable of the sowers and the soils in Mark chapter 4? I know most of you probably have been Bible students for a long time, and so you're probably very familiar with this parable, but I just want to share with you something specifically in the parable. Not really teach the whole parable, but something specific in the parable that this prayer reminded me of. So you get the basic outline of the parable, and that is that there's a sower that goes out to sow seeds. And he sows seeds in 4 different locations. One beside the road, another into verse 5 of chapter 4 on the rocky ground. And then another in verse 7 that falls on the ground where the thorny bushes or the thorns are. And then another that falls on the good soil. And you'll remember that in the interpretation, this is one of those rare opportunities in Scripture where Jesus actually tells us what the parable's about, which is really great because we can look and see what Jesus says. Jesus says that the seed that's being planted is the Word of God. And he says that the different soils are different people. So we can see then, in the parable, a representation of ourselves. We can sort of find out which kind of soil we are. Are we the soil that doesn't even receive the seed because the birds come eat it up, Satan comes and gets it? Are we the rocky soil? Are we the soil that is sown then with thorny bushes? Or are we the soil that is good? Well, when the young man talked about thanking God for our sticky bushes, I thought about this thorny soil in Mark chapter 4. And I want you to look particularly with me at verses 18 and 19. Others are the ones on whom the seed was sown among the thorns. These are the ones who have heard the word, but the worries of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Have you ever heard of being in the briar patch? The little boy's prayer reminded me of what it's like to be in the briar patch. Almost 4 years ago to the day, doctors discovered on my father a tumor at the base of his spine and multiple lesions in his lungs. 7 years prior, he had had a simple procedure to remove melanoma, a small melanoma from his face. And they removed it successfully, and there were no lymph nodes with any cancer, and everything was clear. And so within a span of about 3 or 4 months, 4 years ago, our family received that devastating news, and we spent time with my father through the advanced stages of the disease. And for those of you with experience, you know what I'm hinting at when I say advanced stages of the disease. Within a few months after Dad's death, as any of you know who've dealt with grief, it's really hard on the family to deal with grief. And so my mom, my dad was 70, and my mom 62. My mom never really seemed like herself after Dad's death, which we all believed was probably completely normal because we were all grieving too. So we gave her the maximum benefit of grace and love that you can give. But over the course of time, we became very concerned about our mother's health. And so we took her to doctors, and they said she was depressed. So they gave her medication for depression and tried to help her with the depression. But it seemed like more than depression, because my mom was always a joyful, happy person, and she began to stop hugging the grandkids, and she didn't have emotion at all, not highs or lows, but no emotion at all. And when we really knew something was different or wrong was when she began to stop speaking, and she would barely speak at times. So for 2.5 years, and too many doctor's visits to count, we finally arrived at a diagnosis of frontotemporal dementia, agrammatic non-fluent, primary progressive aphasia. Now, that's a mouthful, but it's basically an aggressive dementia that attacks at an early age, and it attacks the ability to speak. So within a period of about 6 months, I lost the health and livelihood of my parents. I still have my mom, but she still struggles in her health and her life. And I know what it feels like to be in the briar patch. And why do I share that with you? Do I share that with you because I want you to feel sorry for me, you have sympathy for me? No. The reason I share that with you is because these worries and cares and troubles of the world, church, they're real. These are not just ideas or thoughts or things on paper. These things that Jesus teaches us about in Mark chapter 4, the thorns and the sticky bushes that choke out the word are real. And they are at your feet every single day. And I do not know this morning which sticky bush you're dealing with. I do not know what thorns are in your life. But I know, and I've been around and ministered to enough people to know, that the cares and the worries of this world are real. And so when we read about the thorns choking out the word in the parable in Mark 4, we should pay attention. But I want to also bring you another version of thorns in the Bible, because Mark 4 is not the only place in the Bible where thorns are mentioned, and I bet you've already thought of this. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, chapter 12, we read about another thorn that I thought about during this youngster's prayer. Any of you ever heard of Paul's thorn in the flesh? You don't have to raise your hand, but I bet several of you have heard of Paul's thorn in the flesh. What's great about the thorn in the flesh that Paul speaks of is that we really don't know exactly what it was. So it's given us something to debate about for about 2,000 years to try to figure out exactly what it was. But the point of what I'm sharing with you this morning is not really important what the exact specific thing was. But according to Paul, this was a care and worry in his life. Follow with me in 2 Corinthians 12. We'll just read verses 7 through 10. Because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, for this reason, to keep me from exalting myself, there was given me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan. Paul calls it a messenger of Satan, to torment me, to keep me from exalting myself. Concerning this, I implored the Lord three times that it might leave me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I am well content with persecutions, with difficulties for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, church, I am strong. The thorns in Mark 4, choke out the word. The thorn in Paul's life made him closer to God. And so the question for us this morning is, what do the sticky bushes, what does being in the briar patch do for you? And what does it do for me? You see, Paul learned and understood that his weakness was an occasion and an ability for God to show His power, for God to be the one who He relied on and depended upon. And where are you and I in our lives? I know that in this congregation, there are people that you look to and you're thinking about even in your mind right now who have experienced the briar patch and have remained faithful to the Lord. And you see in their example, and you look to them, and they bring you encouragement every single day in the way that they follow God in spite of their troubles. I have those special people in my life. Paul is one of those special people in Scripture. One of those countless examples of people who have thorny lives, but live them to the glory and power of God. And if we didn't have the sticky bushes in life, we wouldn't show the power of God in our weakness. The thorns are the same, but the outcome of the thorns doesn't have to be. So where will the thorny, sticky bushes lead you today? So when the four-year-old gets up and prays, thank you for the sticky bushes, I think it's a powerful and moving reminder for our lives. When Dad received his diagnosis, he began to rearrange a lot of things in his room. My dad was a really intentional person, and he spent a lot of time at his desk and in his little office. He shared it with his bedroom. I had totally forgotten about this, about him rearranging things, because of all the difficulties we were going through. We were just really too busy to take too much time to spend in reflection on those types of things. But as many of you have experienced, whenever you're cleaning things up or cleaning things out, at the end of something difficult like this, you begin to notice things. So one day we were in the apartment and we were cleaning up the apartment and we pulled the mattress off the wall. We had a mattress leaning up against the wall. Behind it, I saw an array of sayings and comics and little pictures that Dad had placed there before he died and were reminders to him and encouragements to him. And on the wall behind that mattress was this prayer. And I lost the stories of my family really quickly, so I didn't have an opportunity to get to ask even who the prayer is from. I can read at the bottom right-hand corner, I'm pleased to share this prayer with you. but I don't know the name. I can't. It's illegible to me. So I don't, and I don't know any of Dad's friends who would have a name that followed this. But I want you to hear the prayer. This is a prayer of an unknown Confederate soldier. And the encouragement that it brings as we think about the things that we've been talking about today. Here's what the prayer says. I ask God for strength that I might achieve. And I was made weak that I might learn humbly to obey. I asked for health that I might do greater things. And I was given infirmity that I might do better things. I asked for riches so that I might be happy. I was given poverty so that I might be wise. I asked for power that I might have the praise of men. And I was given weakness that I might feel the need of God. I asked for all things that I might enjoy life. But I was given life that I might enjoy all things. I got nothing that I asked for, but everything I had hoped for. Almost despite myself, my unspoken prayers were answered. I am among all men, most richly blessed. As that little 4-year-old boy said so eloquently in his prayers, thank you, God, for our blessings. Thank you, God, for the sticky bushes. And thank you, God, for Jesus. You see, without Jesus, none of this has any meaning. Without Jesus, our lives can't make sense of the briar patch. Do you have the power of God in Jesus Christ in your life today? You've heard about Him today. You can believe in Him. You can change your life and confess His name to be baptized for the remission of your sins. What choice will you make today in your briar patch? Thank you, God, for our blessings, the sticky bushes, and Jesus. If you have a need this morning, please come while we stand and while we sing.